Welcome to episode 57 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is actually the after show from episode 55. Basically, everyone that was on the show kept talking for well over 40 minutes, so we decided to save this and take a day off for the Christmas and New Year's weekends. So here it is, what happened after episode 56.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Tanya didn't mention her boobs once.
I know. Sure? I mentioned boobs generally, but not mine specifically.
This was your opportunity.
I was wondering about that.
I totally left the girls out of this one. I don't know. I think I was too focused on, you know, the kind of half-creepy requests I've gotten for Janine, and, you know, I try to put... So technically, I did talk about my boobies, but only in the second person, so...
I like some of the sentences that were coming up were just, like, casual talk. You know, I was thinking about putting nipples on her, but then I decided it was just, like... Oh, wow, okay.
It's always nice when you can get that, you know, casual perversion in. It's lovely. It makes office listening so much more enjoyable.
I do say I rather like the breasts. Yes, I agree. Breasts are great as well. What do you do? I concur.
And you got some really saucy bits you can stick at the end of the show. You know, you always get the seconds there. You just take the most awkward thing that we said today and just stick it right there out of context. And people just be like, what?
What the hell? Yeah. He caught me a few times with those early on. You know, I'd say something at the end and I'd be like, well, geez, at least you weren't recording. And he's like, huh.
So, I'm recording almost all the time. The only time that you have like a little chance is when I say, okay, we're going to break. Then I have, there's like a 5-second window, which I have to wait for the program to stop recording and re-record.
We have to shout out profanities Trek-like at that moment. Okay, we're going to break.
And it's please.
Well, Steph is the only one that was really swearing today.
That is true.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
No, you don't have to go in back and censor it.
But I know how much you hate to edit, so, oh man, I tried to really, really clean up my potty mouth today.
No, you only shed shit like 4 to 5 times.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, it's no big deal. I don't really worry about that too much anymore.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
You know, frankly, come on, most of what we talk about is at least PG-13. They can handle. We were talking half the program about nipples and boobs and fan service and porn and fetishes, and you're going to censor shit?
Let's see, they've talked about bondage? Okay. Oh, they said a dirty word. Oh my God, I'm calling the FCC immediately.
Yeah, I don't know that I see the necessity, really, at that point. We've had people, you know, at least in the imaginations, bound and gagged for half of the... we talked about, you know, silent women, and we didn't go into, you know, Bukkake or anything really nasty.
Oh, jeez.
We could if you'd like to.
We could do a fetish show, maybe. No.
Oh, come on. That's my area of expertise.
No.
That would be a great show.
That would be an interesting show.
Do another porn that comics would... or adult web comics again or something.
No, not adult web comics. Fetish, because it actually is. I mean, the most successful web comics are the ones that tap into existing communities. And... those fetishes, that is a ticket to success, because if you make a comic about something that lots of people are really interested in, and there's all these very popular fetish sites dedicated, like, for example, if you could make a comic about someone who is constantly getting stuck in glue, for some reason, that would be a huge seller. because there's sites all over the place. Just on Project Wonderful, there was just came up the Stuck site, which is a forum about women stuck in things.
Yep.
And I said, okay, I'll advertise on there. I got so many hits off of that.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck?
And once you understand the psychology of a fetish, it's actually very easy to play into that psychology. Because it's not about the surface. It's not about what people see and are immediately like puzzled or aroused or disgusted by. It's what's behind that, what makes that alluring.
Yeah.
And once you're there, you're tapped in.
Which is why like those transgender, you know, where the guy turns into a girl type of thing, comics, it's like for the most part, it's like, okay, if they didn't bring it up, you wouldn't even know that it was a guy. But the whole like, ooh, it's kind of, ooh, and you know, that's the kind of the, what is it, the word, mentality or just behind the scenes stuff.
Yep, and like all those furry comics, I mean, we can talk about those too in their fetish, right?
Well, not all of them are fetishy.
Not the furries aren't fetish. All right,
look,
I understand.
Dan and Mab's furry adventures. Boom, there's your example.
Here's what you need to understand, though, is just because it's not drawn intentionally as a fetish does not mean someone is using it as a fetish.
Yeah,
someone
true.
Out there is beating off to your work regardless of what you're doing. As soon as you swallow that, you'll be a more sane person. It just it doesn't matter.
I will give you that, but we're talking whether or not their overall intent is... Okay, we last talked about trans and morph webcomics on episode 38 with Dan Shives.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't really that. I was expecting a little bit more people to come and listen to that, but it only has like 430 listens. That's really nothing. I mean, our spectacular failures have gone over 600.
Yeah, well, Dan didn't push it on his site.
He didn't have to do that, and you know, he was nice enough to come on. And it's like, I don't expect anybody to plug anything, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, trans and morph comics is a little general. I mean, and the whole genre is really
diverse,
kind of complicated.
Well, it's like
is.
You got fetishes, and then you got fetishes within the fetishes. So if you go like to a Fur Affinity, which is like a DeviantArt furry site, it's like, okay, there the thing is like, I mean, you can find some good non-sexual stuff on there, but because they don't censor anything, you're going to find pretty much all of the freaking fetishes on there in a furry form, essentially. Some of the big ones are like the inflation or giant and tiny and such. And it's like, well, those are more like the safer type of fetishes where, you know, if, you know what I'm talking about. Where it's not like naked or sexual or something like that.
Yeah. Fetishes is kind of strong because it really is simply communities. Because I mean, for example, I'm talking with someone right now about making a comic about knitting. And when I first heard this idea, I go, knitting? And then I walk into the stores, you know, to the bookstore and see all the knitting magazines. And I go, this could work.
I've seen it. I've heard it suggested before at a con with some nerd was there, because it was a nerd con, so we're all nerds, was knitting. And somebody had made the suggestion, if somebody made a knitting webcomic, that could totally,
I've got a friend who has got a yarn business, is obsessed with knitting, and very funny. She's going to write it. I got to hunt down an artist somewhere for it, and I'm going to do the admin, and hopefully that will do well. It's the idea of tapping into a community. And finding a community of people and tapping into. And now, yes, there is the fetish side of it, but it's simply, that's a pre-made community.
Go ahead, Steph.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's really interesting how people can kind of find us, oftentimes from the least likely sources. Even with my work, a lot of people that are graphic designers and illustrators and that sort of thing have really kind of taken an interest in my work, you know, with the advertising bent on it. With some of the art and the typography, and maybe not so much on the story or other things, but people really key into our work in certain areas. And it's really interesting that way. And I guess you could almost think of certain interests as a bit of a fetish or something. It's like somebody comes in, oh, I really like chicks with short hair, you know? Or, you know, I really like the color red or something. I don't know.
Or chicks with short hair that's red hair.
Yeah, it's just like whatever spins your bow tie, people are going to find you, you know?
And, I mean, there's something to be said to finding them. Like, for example, whenever I have a transformation scene, I know to go out to the various transformation boards and say, hey, you know, you'd probably like this, you guys, and simply post that. And that boosts my ratings unbelievably. Of simply saying, hey, here's something that you particularly would like. I had one mind control scene, which was not really a mind control scene, played up for laughs, but when that hit the mind control boards, that went off the scale. And it's so hard because you don't want to pander. You want to sort of tap in, but you don't want to say, I'm doing another, you know, I'm doing another, you know, furry scene. Come on, take a look.
Well, yeah.
Tentacle rape, come and take a look.
Like nobody likes to be patronized, even people who watch tentacle porn.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If it compromises your story, that's when you've gone too far.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
True.
That's a good point. I have a hard time with trying to find the people. Like, I don't really spend too much time promoting or pimping or, you know, surfing the internet looking for places and stuff like that. I really should be doing more of that, but I just kind of take a really laissez-faire kind of approach, and if people come to me and they're vibing on it, then that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I was until I had to pay bills, and then it's sort of... really important.
I still pay my bills with a job. So
I still pay my bills with a job. It's just I have to pay my artist's bills with the comic.
Oh yeah.
And you know, he does great work, but if he wasn't around, I would have a much more relaxed comic. And a lot less work to do. But you know, I like his art, so I don't want to get rid of him.
Well, yeah, and when it came time for me, you know, when I started to consider doing a couple of serious print comic series, I knew that if I was going to do it on my own, one, it would take me 14 years, and two, it would never look exactly the way I wanted to. So I did the same thing. You know, there are certain things, if you want it a certain way, you find somebody else. I'm not that girl. So, yeah.
No, I mean, and that's something that the webcomic community has not learned, and I think it's really important, is find a person who knows how to do it. Don't there's this attitude, do it yourself, learn to do it yourself, be self-reliant, and... No, because then you do it half-ass. I mean, and if you really want to learn how to draw, fine, but if you want to have a really good-looking comic, then don't learn how to draw. Find someone who can draw.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, too, actually. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut anyone off.
No,
cut in.
Actually, that's kind of how I'm feeling about the whole internet thing with regards to, like, you know, like new technologies, PHP, CSS, all this stuff. I built my site totally in, like, old school HTML, and I have squillions of pages, and updating them would be such a biatch if I, you know, had to go back in and add some, like, whatever, Project Wonderful space and all this, and add this, and scripts and tag boards and, you know, chat windows and all kinds of stuff. Like, there's no way I can do it. And I'm really seriously thinking about, you know, just actually hiring somebody to do this stuff for me. Get my site, you know, up to speed so that, you know, if I update the template, then the whole thing will update properly with, like, ads on every page instead of all this HTML crap. Like, I'm already so far behind the curve. Like, I don't have Twitter or freaking Facebook or anything. I got to get someone to, you know, do this shit for me. I'm sorry, I said it again.
Well, we're not
recording now.
We're not on.
We
it's fine.
Be.
Oh.
We're probably recording. We're just not supposed to be.
Let's stop it. We'll get put out a string of profanities that way.
Mark of the Thinking Ape Blues actually hired an assistant. He didn't have a lot of money, so he basically, you know, found a fan who was willing to do it and trades artwork, and he manages his forums and you know, and sets up all the Twitters and the Facebooks and the MySpaces and answers fan mail and does all of that. I mean, not answers fan mail, but, you know, sorts through it and does all of that stuff.
Yeah,
so that he can draw because that's what he's good at.
Absolutely. And, like, I'm just the creative dude, and I have no business sense at all, no business savvy. I mean, I do that with my job. You know, I promote and I kind of get the word out there and I do the work and stuff like that. But when it comes to Sarah Zero, I just really just want to draw. I just want to create it. I really – I got to get my own Robert Koo. We all do.
Well, we all do. Yeah, but there's only one Robert Koo. But, I mean – I'm trying to court a friend to be a manager for me. So, I mean, that's something. Yeah, you have to find these people to do stuff for you. You should send me an email. Maybe I can convince my friend to help you as well.
Wow, awesome! For $1 million an hour.
No. I'm paying her next to nothing, and you can pay her next to nothing, and combined, it will be a little more than next to nothing. And I mean, I think that's a job that could webcomic manager that could.
It was actually something that I considered a while back when Mark contacted me, and Mark is an amazing artist, and he contacted me for help getting the webcomic out, and I thought, okay, there's something wrong here.
Yeah, well,
and it came down to the fact that highly creative people are not often highly business-oriented people. And it might be a good idea, you know, to start just a little co-op of people who are, you know, who are willing to do kind of work for hire. And I think that would make a lot of sense.
If you wanted to, if people were interested in that, I would be so on board for that. Because, I mean...
What are you guys talking about?
Hiring you to be an assistant, like handle the business stuff of the webcomic, your advertising, and your Twitter and your Facebook.
Advertising, marketing, and website design.
Management,
I'm all for that. I mean,
I'd be really down with that. That would be so
yelling at artists on a regular basis, because I swear to God, that's 90% of my job now. I have four freaking artists, and every day I'm like, hey, what happened to you? Where's my stuff? What's going on? I paid you money.
We're flaky. It's just what we are.
Oh, God. I have this guy down in Mexico. I'm going down to Mexico for a vacation with my family, and it turned out we had an extra room in the resort. And I'm like, dude, I will pay your bus fee. You can stay in a resort. Let's meet up and get and hash out some details. I haven't heard from him in a week. I'm offering to send you to a resort, and you won't reply to me.
Uh-oh, no.
Well, I can't pay the plane fees, but no. But I mean,
a great topic.
No, yeah, I think I mean yeah, honestly, if getting more business oriented and getting some business managers and people who know business and sales to help people out is so freaking essential to people.
I think that's what some of the guys from the Quarter Pixel forums, Half Pixel, those guys, they recently, I guess, have webcomics.com, and they're trying to, you know, do a really good job of trying to get people to think more about the business side of things. And I've been more interested.
I don't agree with that. But go ahead. It's like when I started, like I was saying about the show before, you know, for the love of the hobby. Which already is kind of, for the love of the hobby. You know, I just like that line. You know, people are, like, so anal about, we got to make, it's got to be a business. It's got to be a business. You got to make everything better, better, better. Relax. Have fun with it.
What it comes down to is what you want. I eventually want to make money doing this. If it was just a hobby, I wouldn't stress those things. But it isn't. I want to do this eventually, you know, for money, for a living, so I don't need to go into work every day. I would really love to be able to homeschool my son. So, you know, it is a good idea. If that's the angle you're going, if that's the direction you're going, you have to think about the business thing. And a lot of people aren't wired that way. And I applaud what they're doing at Webcomic Inc., but I don't know that telling them over and over is going to make it stick. You can throw
absolutely.
Throw a ball.
And the Half Pixel people have this one fundamental flaw of the do-it-yourself attitude. I mean, and which is, I think, I mean, I said I was a jerk over at Half Pixel because I'll listen to their podcast and I'll say, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah. What the heck are you telling people to do?
Well, actually, I didn't think you were a dick at all because I totally agree with you, and I think you and I talked in the forums about this a couple times, is that there is a bit of a bias towards, you know, short-form gag strips, and you and I are doing different types of work, and everyone has to kind of find their own way of finding their own success and doing what works for them. But I think that maybe they're just in a different place, and I think that there is business stuff to be done there, and I think maybe they kind of were able to achieve what they did at a different time when the net was in more of an infancy. Whereas now, I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong, but I just think that things are a lot more complex now than they used to be like 5-10 years ago.
Even just signing up for cons, I mean, that is just a job in itself. And I mean, here's the thing. Like I said, I have a friend who's unemployed right now, and I said I'd give her some money. And I'm saying, you know, I'll give you $15 a week to help me out. That's a small amount of money. And she's going to help me out, and she'll give me 2 or 3 hours a week to do that. But if she had 10 people saying, I'll give you $15 a week or even $15 a month, that can be a career for her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and it's one of these things where outsourcing can be useful. I mean, and like for Tanya has all of this merchandise.
Yep.
Which, I mean, for example, the button thing. I looked at the buttons and I'm like, well, I could get a button maker and I could make the buttons myself, and I'm not going to do that.
You totally could. I would recommend it.
Nobody buys buttons. Yeah. I don't know anybody who buys buttons anymore.
And
I do really well with my buttons at conventions. I mean, sure, they all have something sexual and horrible on them, but they sell.
I throw all my buttons away now. I don't care.
But no, would you guys be willing to just get together and just kind of strategize with people on this at some point?
Yeah,
because I would love to actually formally organize this. Maybe get. My friend is Allison. She's the one who wants to do the knitting comic.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if we could get, like, 2 or 3 people who said, yes, I'll pay you a very small amount of money, let's make this your job. I think that might be worthwhile. And if we could define what her job is, because that's where I'm having the problem. I'm like, do stuff to help me.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll try.
Like, okay, something a little more directional.
You know, we started this conversation talking about fetishes, and I got like a nice 20 minutes of stuff here that I don't want to delete. So
it's good stuff. It's just not.
We can go on.
Right.
We can go
all
on.
Right.
We can talk for another like 15-20 minutes about other stuff, and I can just make this a whole episode somewhere for maybe New Year's or
next month.
Yeah.
All right. To make Seth happy, let's start talking about boobs again.
I'm sorry,
it's just natural progression. This natural conversation stuff. Well,
No.
You didn't ruin it. You sparked it. It's good.
Well, see, okay. Let's take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we can continue this conversation. Hang on.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Queef.
Nice palate cleanser.
Okay, so we first started. So for this episode, we first started talking about fetishes, which we can go into more detail on another episode completely, because it would be a fun thing to explore in general.
Yeah,
as far as you start moving on and towards the business aspect, and I do want to remind our listeners that the Webcomic Beacon, first and foremost, is all about for the hobby and having fun like that. If you really, really want to have professional advice, take what you will hear as what you would take advice anywhere else on the internet. With a grain of salt, this is mostly from our experiences, viewpoints, and opinions. If you don't agree with that, well, whatever, go away. But we don't claim to be an authority. So stop trying to think that we're telling you that we're an authority. We're not. Everyone speaks for themselves. Now, that being said, this is what I want everyone to do. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, okay, so you're talking about the business aspect.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you're talking about, like, getting the readers, listeners, or whatever, involved in, and as well. It's like, I know some people have, like, okay, I switched my sites over to a comic press right now. I got to go through and put titles for every freaking comic now, and I've had a couple of people say that they'd be willing to help out on this.
Right.
Hey, that's awesome. But I also have this problem with control. It's like, if I'm not in control, I get worried whether or not it's going to be done the way I want. And there's going to be people that are like this. And the only way, especially with working like maybe with an artist, make sure you describe everything the way that you want it, as clearly and as wordy as possible, but not in a confusing way. Would you agree, Eric?
No.
No?
I say give up your control issues. That's because there are so many times that I give a description and I get it back from one of my artists, and I look at that and I'm saying, that's not what I intended at all. And I look at it and I say, this is going to take him a while to fix, and I can rewrite a lot quicker. All right, I can work with this. And that's the attitude you have to have when you're dealing with anyone else. Is all right, I can work with this. I can. You've got to. The first thing you've got to say is, who's it going to be easier to fix? If it's me, I fix it. If it's him, he fixes it.
Yeah.
And same with getting someone to manage. You've got to give up that control. You've got to say, I'm doing this, and you know, you say it's for the hobby.
Yeah.
This is to keep it a hobby for you. I mean, for right now, my comic is my hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a business. I make tons of money.
Oh, yeah,
you just
made $1,800 on a single image. What are you talking
about? I keep none of it, though. It goes all to the artist.
Wow. Yeah.
I get nothing.
Well, I
pay other people to make the comic. I pay other people to manage things. Every dollar I get in goes out for donation images, for the comics, for side projects, for, you know, donation, for special comics produced. I don't keep anything. This is my hobby. And the reason I hire other people to do it is so that I don't have to do all this stupid work.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of it comes down to knowing who you've hired, as you know, or who you're working with as well. When I decided to move into the print comics, and I knew what I was looking for, and you know, I'm very much in love with this project. It means a lot to me, but I have to give up a level of control. So when I did that, I found somebody I trust, and you know, I went to David Wolf, and what he puts out oftentimes is not what was in my head, but it's usually better. So as long as you're in a situation where when you give up control, you are pleasantly surprised, then it's a good thing. We all need to learn a little bit more how to let other people help us, and that involves letting go.
Oh, absolutely.
This is pouring into in collaborative projects where you got like a, you know, we're talking about, you know, getting fans involved, but now we're talking about like artists and such. And I don't like, I hate to keep plugging it. I'm going to mention Ardra once again.
But I'm going
to
do it.
Just because it relates to what I'm talking about, so people know what I'm talking about. Okay, Jason basically has the ideas, and he writes the script. And now I've become a script editor, and I've had to rewrite a few things for an artist's perspective. And a lot of what he writes has to be either broken into more strips or has to be condensed. So he's given up a lot of his control. It's all about, you know, being able to click with the people you're working with. And it's like I've been told that, especially if you're paying an artist, if you want something exactly how it's like, if you know what you're doing and you know how exactly it should be artistically presented, then I say by all means, write descriptively, especially for an artist if you know stuff about art. For what I do, when I write my directions for Trevor to draw the scene, I will usually indicate that this is the feeling of the emotions that I'm kind of going for, but I also leave it open up to him if he knows a better way of how to do that. I think the person who does Marry Me and all those other comics, Bobby Crosby or Chris Crosby, I forget which one of the Crosbys it is, but he admits that, you know, he has crappy art, but he will put together like a page of clip arts or bad drawings to get the point across of whatever like that. And I would like to spend more time, maybe another episode, talking about webcomic teams or relationships like that, because I think it could be a very interesting topic. I just wanted to get that out there.
Here's the thing. The more control you have over someone else's actions, the more you are paying them. That's the truth. If you want to give these incredibly complex strips with clip arts and detailed descriptions of how every panel is drawn, if you want a manager who does exactly what you say, if you want an editor who's on time, on schedule, does everything, that you're paying a lot of money. The less you're paying, the more you've got to say, okay, let's work with your style. Let's see how we can work it out with you.
Something that that Hans, actually one of the people listening, had brought up to me last week, we're doing a movie script, is if you want a creative partner, hire an artist. If you want someone to do exactly what you describe, hire an illustrator. They are different people. It's the difference between a writer and a technical writer. So if you do have control issues, don't look for an artist. They have their own ideas. They have, you know, it's very much a vision in their mind that they're going off your descriptions for. There are people out there that's what they do, is draw exactly what you want. Use them. Torture your
artist. And if you tell an artist over and over again what to do, they will get bored and leave.
Which is why you go to an illustrator. They are the technical writers of the art world. That's what they do. They will not be annoyed.
Yeah, some artists really need to have some creative input. And some people, it kind of depends what kind of a relationship you have. Some people just want to be told what to do verbatim. And others, they just, well, how about this? Well, how about that? And actually, I think that's how the Alpha Shade guys work. They're brothers, Chris and Joe. And the writer guy, Chris? Sorry, I always get their names mixed up. But he draws really, really rough storyboards. But then the artist, Joe, he's able to, like, you know, make suggestions and improvements, and he's more the visual guy. So he does all the art, and they work together really well. Really well.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, for example, I have people who manage my forms. I have people who edit my scripts. And it's not just artists when you're talking about collaboration. And finding people to help you out really can help, but you've got to make sure that this is that you define the relationship. Because I've had people, like, for example, editors. I haven't been paying my editors. I haven't been giving my editors anything, and so my editors are very slow. They'll get back to me often.
Right.
And I can tell you, the first time I was working with an artist, I didn't send them a contract, and it didn't work out. I mean, they got bored. They left. I sent another artist a contract saying, here's exactly what you're going to be doing. Here's how it's related. And it's worked out very well. And it's just formalizing that relationship. And if you want to collaborate, you've got to define what the collaboration is ahead of time.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with a job description. If anything, it makes everyone comfortable with where they stand. They know what's expected of them and what's not expected of them. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to find a lawyer and get it written up and all that crap. But you need something, some sort of basis.
Well, we're all talking about when there's money involved, right, in this instance?
No, even if there's no money involved. Even if you're offering to exchange art. Even if you're offering to plug their site. even if you're offering to pat them on the back once every month or, you know, whatever. Or if you're living with them, if you're offering sexual favors in exchange, whatever you choose. See, I figured we'd get back to fan service.
Well, it's like, okay, it's a really good point. It's like I have less of a control issue when when all parties involved have the same feeling for it. Like, you know, going back to Ardra, is like when I was doing artwork for him for a while, I never really felt that I had that I could really, you know, so to speak, own the comic, because I felt weird working with somebody else's, you know, baby kind of, you know, and then eventually we just got a little bit more working on it, and Trevor came back and started doing the artwork, and we got this, you know, nobody gets paid really, but we got this, you know, great teamwork thing going on because we all really get the characters and the content, and even Trevor will throw in a couple little things that we didn't write in, and it just works. It's like a good little team that works out, and it's we talk to each other, and it just works out well. You know, you really gotta, you know, find these people that if you're looking to work together, that you're on the same level, I guess.
And the fact that how much they really like our work or appreciate it or respect it, I think that says a lot about how far they're willing to go for us. If it's somebody that's just kind of doing it for whatever and they're not really into it, I'll probably be a little bit more resistant or not as reliable. But if they're really, really on the same wavelength, these people will bend over backwards, like a freaking George Lucas film or something. Oh, sir, you want me to change that again? Okay, sir, yeah, okay. Oh, 37 times? Okay, yeah, I'll keep changing it. Okay, that's great, yeah.
Ass kissers.
Okay. Not necessarily ass kissers, because it's maybe not you that they're worshiping, Mr. Megalomaniacal.
Sellouts, whatever.
Maybe it's the project.
Yeah. I don't know. There was one thing that pissed me off about the new one of the guys was doing Yoda, and it's like, you know, Yoda's jumping around, ooh, wah, wee, and then like 20 years later, he's like dead and dying and whatever. But it's like the part there's like behind the scenes things where he's talking about where he is like thinking the actual person who was going to do the computer stuff for Yoda to do this, and he was talking about to the camera. I wonder how the fans are going to react if they're really going to whatever, you know, because he, you know, had a real good, because sometimes there's just things that you really have to weigh in on what the fans are going to think about it. And then it's like he said that George Lucas talked to him and it's like, you don't have to worry about the fans. You have to worry about me and what will make me happy. And it's like, you pompous ass. It's like, you're making money off of us and you just basically said you don't care what we think.
Well, yeah, if you're George Lucas, you can say that. But
I mean, three words. Jar Jar Binks. We know he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, come on, you gotta at least, you know, give it to the fans a little bit, because sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, the public kind of owns it in some way. If it just got so big, it's you sometimes lose a little bit, but you can't just make something that is so owned by everybody else, so to speak, and just say, fuck all y'all.
I disagree entirely. I mean, not that I liked what George Lucas did, but I'm not trying to defend Jar Jar Binks, but I think that you run into much more troubles if you're trying just to do something because you think people will like it.
Well, I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying do something for the fans because of that, but I'm saying at least acknowledge, take into consideration, and understand some things. Don't just it seemed very blunt and basically, I don't care what the fuck you think. Just give me some money and shut up. That's how I got it. And okay. That's a bad attitude is all I'm saying.
Let me give a personal example. Okay. I mean, I write my comic. There's the main character, Tiffany, in there, who is a woman, a man turned into a woman.
Right.
There are certain things I know the fans want to see. They want to see a certain amount of angst. They want to see, you know, a lot of exploration of gender roles and that sort of thing. I don't do that all the time because sometimes the story just doesn't require it. I do come back to it. At the other time, there are things I'll look at, and yet again, I was looking at my story, and there was one point in the story I said, hey, I could kill off my main character, sort of Hitchcock style, and just go an entirely different way. And I was looking at that, and I was getting really excited about it, and I started writing some stuff down, and I looked at that, and I said, this is awesome, and people will kill me.
So. That is your muse talking. And sometimes it's dangerous to take the route of what your muse says versus what you originally planned and what your fans may expect.
Yeah, but I mean, there's the balance. Don't do what your fans expect, but at the same time, don't betray your fans and say,
right.
I don't give a damn what you think. I'm going to do this horrible, horrible thing that's just going to totally upend the comic. Sluggy Freelance, he did The Ocean's Unmoving, which I thought was great. His fans didn't like. But I thought he stayed true to what he was doing. He stayed true to what amused him, and he stayed true to his comic. Right after that, he did these really kind of boring little one-off old-school Sluggy gags because he had gotten all the fans annoyed at him. But they weren't very good because his heart wasn't in them.
Right.
And so you got to sometimes take your own route, but don't betray your fans. Don't do something that would just – don't put Jar Jar Binks in there.
Don't decide that your daughter's more important than, you know, millions and millions of fans and decide to hire a boy band.
How
don't
rude.
Do that. Let it go. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's one thing every once in a while I've seen in a comic, print comics too, where you can almost sense the artist getting so frustrated with what his character has become.
Yeah.
That eventually they torture and destroy them out of their own sense of just deep-seated anger toward, you know, what they've allowed the character to be for the fans. And you can't let that happen. You know, never let fan service destroy your original creation. Yeah, but again, you know, it all goes back to our number one rule: don't be a dick. Like, it's not that hard. Just don't be a dick.
That's kind of like what happened with me with why I trashed everything I had done and did a relaunch anyway. It was because I didn't really plan very well, and I just was just kind of winging it from week to week to week. And I got to a place where I didn't know where the hell I was. It was nowhere near where I wanted it to be. And a lot of people kind of had a lot of influence in that because, oh, man, it would be so cool if this, and, oh, it would be so wicked if that happened, and you should do this, and this would be great. And, hey, do that other pop culture thing that I really like, you know? And it just – I'm sorry. It just really didn't work for me. And so I just kind of, like, had to wipe the slate clean and, you know, just kind of go do something totally different. And I've been really adamant to try to make sure that nobody influences me. You suck. You suck. You suck. Great, thanks. You know, oh, you're awesome. Okay, sure, whatever. You know, just please don't talk to me. I'm plugging my ears. I'm trying to do my thing.
La 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 la.
But anyway, guys, I'm really, really sorry. I don't know what the etiquette is, but I really got to get the hell out of here. I got to go pick up my wife at the airport. She's been waiting for an hour and a half, and I've been trying to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Etiquette
I'm
on the beacon? What?
I'm such a horrible husband. I'm sorry. I didn't know when appropriate time to say, sorry, guys, I got to go.
That's okay. We got to take a break here anyway, but thanks for coming on the show, and go pick up your wife, damn it.
Awesome.
Thank you. I love you guys. This is great. This is really awesome. Thank you so much. And hopefully, we'll see how things go. And I'll looking forward to seeing the show when it's done. And you guys are all doing great work. Webcomic Beacon totally kicks ass. And
Circle jerk. Okay.
Yay!
Okay.
See you later.
Fuck all y'all. Bye. Double middle fingers to all y'all.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And in the end, we blow through that 14 tag.
Yeah. All right. We got to take one last little break right here, and when we come back, we're going to finish this off real quick. And all right, yeah.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
I think we're running out of porn references, quite frankly.
Oh, no. I haven't even begun. Okay. So many.
I mean, yeah, Steph is like, oh, I'm not sure what the etiquette is. What? Did you just say what? Etiquette? This is the webcomic Beacon. Yeah. We're shoving cats into ovens
here. My wife's going to divorce me. I have to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. He's so polite. Wow.
I have to go in a minute, too. But
that's okay. This is pretty much the end of the show.
Yeah.
Of this three-hour show.
Yeah. No, this Happy New Year, actually. This is our New Year's show, recorded 2 weeks ago because we just couldn't shut up with episode 55.
I wanted to go, but they won't let me leave.
And we're back to bondage. That took, what, 4 or 5 minutes? That's awesome.
We need to give a safety word to all of our guests when they come on the show.
I personally prefer the green light, yellow light, red light system. Everyone understands what it means. It's very simplistic.
I think just when you call up, you say, hi, this is Seth from the webcomic Beacon. And by the way, the safest word is kumquats. Welcome to the show.
I think I would prefer, hi, this is Seth from the webcomic Beacon. You're my bitch for the next hour. And then just go. That wouldn't scare anybody.
We got some questions in the chat room. How long ago was this show originally ending? Well, basically about 40 minutes ago is when we ended episode 55. The episode you're listening to now is actually episode 57, and it's going to be coming out for New Year's 2009.
We've talked into next year.
We have.
Awesome.
Do either of you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
to stop making podcasts run over their original time. Darn it, I missed that one.
Oh, you fail. I made a New Year's resolution 6 years ago to never again make a New Year's resolution, and I have stuck to it like glue.
Jinx,
I am off the hook.
Jinx Tiger's New Year's resolution is 1900 by 1280.
I hope that's wow. we're gonna just not go there. I'm gonna be quiet.
No, my New Year's resolution would be to minimize the amount of crap that I've been getting involved with. By the way, the webcomic Bacon communal webcomic project should be well underway by now, at least with the early sketches of everyone's characters.
How worried I am that you don't get any pork-related puns that are thrown at you. And you're doing webcomic Bacon? I mean,
I know. There's
I think,
so many
boy, you're really
references.
Hamming it up.
Hey, as long as you just don't give me any beef.
Yeah. I'm a little ill now. That actually made me nauseous.
Screw you guys. Well, and it... In any case, I have no idea. Okay, 2 weeks ago when we recorded this, I have no idea what's going on right now. So you're just going to have to live with this episode. It's possible for this coming year we may end up going to every other week for the show.
You should tell your co-host that first before you announce
that. That's
air.
What I said. It's possible. This also relates to whether or not we do the show better or just I have more freaking time to do all my other stuff. It also depends
on...
You
are a project junkie. It's like heroin for you. Do you tap your arm before you start a new project? I think you should start. You're going to wreck your veins.
Yeah, give me some rubber tubing.
To go back to what we were talking about, you should get people to help you out with these projects.
That's
Beth.
What I was thinking about. I would, as much as I hate to give up control, if I may need somebody to produce it, mm-hmm. which
means giving up control, which makes Fez whine.
I know. I mean, I'm already really grateful for Hans Meyer and Dungeon Warden for taking a look. Well, mostly Dungeon Warden. He's been more on the ball than Hans. But well, he has.
He's got things to do.
But Dungeon Lord has been the one sending the notes for the last few times. But
Hans, if you're listening, you suck.
No, he is listening. He's right there. He's in the chat room.
My boyfriend. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Is that who he is?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm hating this guy. Oh my God.
Well, in any case, I'm grateful for the show notes. They've been helping out a lot. And I may just have to look into, I've already really simplified the website now. I took off all the extra custom images I used to put up, so it's basically more static now. And I may just have to look into that, and maybe somebody listening who loves just having fun with the show and not having to get all worked up about being so damn professional or not, or if you really just want to make the show damn professional sounding, hey, I'm not going to pay you anything because we don't make anything, but if you...
Oh, we make no money, but we'll give you half of that.
Yeah, so that's just some news for the new year again. Happy 2009!
Yay!
we've got to get going.
Okay.
This has been Fast with PSI at webcomic.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
This is Eric of Xtreme.com.
Join us again next week, or maybe the week after. We don't know yet.
Bye.
We could keep on talking.
Bye.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.